this New Year's Day, a secular holiday, unfortunately mixed in with sin the night before because of partying and all this worldliness, perhaps in many places in the world. We sanctify this New Year's Day by commemoration of this, one of the greatest truths of our faith, Mary as the Mother of God, which really underlines the theological truths about our Lord and his human nature and his divine nature. They are protected. This truth about our Lord is protected in the person of Our Lady. She guarantees the truth of his humanity and his divinity. His humanity, because he comes from her flesh and blood in his humanity. He is a true man, because truly, truly a true child of Mary. She's truly his mother, and she guarantees the truth of his divinity too, because she is a virgin. Only by the miracle of God could God become a son of a virgin, make a virgin a mother at the same time, and still maintain her virginity, still keep that intact. But in this great mystery of the Mother of God, we underline this second unbelievable truth of Our Lady. We look first at her Immaculate Conception, which underscores her immense holiness. God, from the first moment of her instant, made her more holy than all the angels and saints together at her Immaculate Conception. And now we see something even perhaps more stupendous, that she becomes the Mother of God. How great a truth this is, how great it is. Just a week ago, we celebrated this unbelievable truth, which seems almost too good to be true, that God would become a man, that God, who creates the world and the universe and everything unseen and seen, becomes part of it. He makes himself part of this creation. This is something unbelievable, and something even, again, unbelievable is that he would become, what he would do to a creature, what he would do to this woman, exalting her to the heights beyond our imagination. How great is she? How holy is she to be the Mother of God? And this is what we are celebrating today, this immense truth, this immense, and how important this is. We reflect on her greatness, her great, immense holiness, but we reflect on also what God has done to her, how important she is to us. She's not just great in herself, but she is immensely important to us. God has chosen her to be an intimate part of our salvation, of our spiritual life. And so she has to be immensely important in our heart and in our life. We can't separate Jesus from Mary. They're a package. That's the way God made it. He comes to us through her, with her, and in her, and continues to take Mary with him all of her life, all of his life. They're together the whole time, from the first moment of his existence until the end, where she's the co-redemptrix, standing at the foot of Calvary, suffering with our Lord. She's with him the whole way through, and our Lord takes her the whole way through. And in our personal spiritual life, we have to have Our Lady with us the whole way through our life. She's not, can't compartmentalize Our Lady and put her in a corner, put her like in a statue, and you know, we light a candle to Our Lady and show her, you know, this token devotion to her. No, she's much more intimately part of our spiritual life. That's what our Lord himself did. We're following the example of Jesus Christ, who took Our Lady to himself, sort of taking a rib from himself and making her. He made his own mother, and he became one with her. St. Alphonsus talks about three most perfect unions. The first most perfect union is the union of the three persons in the Holy Trinity. And then the second is the union between his divine nature and his human nature. He is one with his human flesh. He's one. He's not just dwelling in the temple of his body, but he is one with his body, and he has it in eternity in heaven and will always have it. He's one in a perfect unity with his human nature, but he's also perfectly one with Our Lady in a third most perfect state. He is one with Our Lady, and so we can't ever separate Our Lady from Our Lord theologically, spiritually, mystically, or in our spiritual life. We cannot separate Our Lady from Our Lord. As great as we hold God in our mind as the first source of all everything, we must hold Our Lady great in our heart and mind, because God has exalted her to that immense status, to exalt our human nature, to do something good for us, because he loves us. He wants to dwell with us, and he wants to exalt us to the highest state he can as God. And that's what he did with Our Lady. As St. Bonaventure says, God himself could not have made a more perfect creature than he did in Our Lady. So she must be immensely important to us, as she is immensely important in reality, in our theology, our Mariology. She is immensely important. So we must make her important to us. We must exalt her. We must love her with an immense devotion. We must consecrate ourselves to her and live a true and real consecration to her, taking with her with us throughout the day, every day of our life, loving her with all our hearts as Jesus Christ, our Lord, did. He set the example for us. That 30 years, imagine, 30 years, what did they do together? Our Lord working in her heart, making her more and more holy. First, the Immaculate Conception, then to another immense degree in the Incarnation, raising her to be the Mother of God and living with her for those 30 years, sanctifying her more and more and more. And then the immense suffering of the Passion of our Lord, sanctifying her further and further through that immense suffering on Calvary. So we take Our Lady to ourselves. She, who our Lord took to himself. She's that new Eve. He's the new Adam, and she's the new Eve. And so they're together throughout their entire life. And we must also take her with us throughout our entire life, never, ever separating ourselves from Our Lady in our devotions, but making her exalt us more and more in holiness, making us grow in grace and holiness. She is with us every step of the way of sanctification. She must be, and we cannot try to sanctify ourselves in any other way. Otherwise, we slow ourselves down, or we even stop the flow of grace is because she is not there, or we have waned in our devotion to her. So how important the Immaculate Conception is, how important this privilege of the divine maternity of Our Lady, these two pillars in our understanding of Our Lady and in our spiritual life, along with all the truths about Our Lord. We must hold them high, hold those torches high, and never let them wane, and make that torch grow in greater brightness and holiness. We must praise Our Lady more and more, honor her, and bless her, as she said herself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, all generations will call me blessed. So let us counteract the movement that has been in the air in the church to diminish the greatness of Our Lady, which has never been the teaching of the church, never been the teaching of the saints, but we must praise her more and more strongly, more and more strongly as the ages go by to the end of the world. And then truly God will transform this world into something better, a preparation for our true homeland in heaven, where we will be with our Heavenly Mother and our Heavenly Father in a family, as Jesus has come to us in a family, not by himself, not even in the sense of, you know, Adam and Eve, who were sort of separate, and they come together in marriage and become one. But this is a much more intimate union between Jesus and his mother. He is the fruit of her womb, a true, organic, real union, a real relationship of a family. She is truly his mother. She is truly his mother, and he is truly one with her flesh. So we must live this truth and live in this family that our Lord has created for us, a heavenly family with God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all the angels, and all the saints that we look forward to. So let us be true children of our Heavenly Mother, striving to be worthy of her holiness and greatness, and counting on her help to make us holy.